Things get impossible with God.
Amen. So before I start up, I was just asking the Lord, is there anything you want me to say before I talk and do what you're leading me to do? And it just felt like I had a few words. Actually, I had a dream last night, and in a dream, I was giving what we call a word of knowledge, or just something you feel like God led you to say. To somebody specific. Where is it? And so in this dream, I'm speaking a place, not necessarily specifically here, but my eyes were full of tears, and I was saying there's somebody here who's lost everything. You've lost your business, you've lost your money, you've lost a lot of the earthly side of things, but God still loves you, and he's still pleased with you, and it'll be okay. And I don't know if that was for this setting. I had a dream last night. Why not share it? But if there's someone here and you just feel like your life is falling apart, not even necessarily because of things you've done, it's just the way it's worked out. You've planned, you've prepared, and it just hasn't worked out. God is still with you. He says it's okay. But this morning as I was praying, I felt like the Lord said, Matt, there's a mom that's here. And this is the phrase I heard. I feel like this is something you've lifted up to God. My heart is shattered, O Lord. I don't know what I'm going to do. God, I know you're there, but if you're there, show me a sign. And I had an impression this had to do with where your child was. At least that's the way that I felt that. And if that's you, if that's your prayer, that maybe your kid's away from the Lord, maybe they're living another lifestyle that grieves your spirit, perhaps that's for you. I love you. And I heard the phrase, give me a sign, God, give me a sign that you're still there. Give me a sign. I know you're there, but give me a sign that you care is more the phrase. I just want you to know God is there. And so sometimes when I go, did that minister to anyone, by the way? Sometimes I just move forward. Do you want to stand up real quick? Is that okay? And multiple people sometimes feel the same word, and that's okay. If that's you, just stand up. We're going to pray for you real quick. And miss, this might seem presumptuous. Do you have something with your back towards the middle? Maybe it could just be tension or tightness, but it could be something from a small accident some years ago. Okay. Sweet. Do you guys want to stretch out your hands toward them? So, Lord, that prayer, my heart is shattering. Right now, you're healing that heart. And I just thank you, God. You're laying your hand on their heart. They might feel a burning on their heart. They might feel tension lift. One of you cried so hard that you were literally in pain. Literally, you felt tightness in your chest and some other things happening. And I just say, God, you're here with them. They declare all condemnation, all shame, all guilt, all fear of what could happen. We just say, Lord, may the devil be smashed in Jesus' name. We say your hand is on their children. We say, God, you're near to them and not far. God, you'll only let their children go so far, but you're going to capture their hearts, and they're going to be on fire for you. Jesus, they'll do more damage to the devil than they did to your kingdom. They'll do more damage to the devil than they did to their mom's heart. They'll give more pride to their mama's heart in the future than they did to destroy it. And we say, we release joy to you for your mourning. We release beauty for your ashes. And we release breakthrough for the feeling of constriction. And we say, you mamas are warriors for Jesus. And you just keep pressing through. But you just thank God for what he is doing and will do. The devil may taunt you to say, I have your kid. But the Lord says, I am pursuing them and I'm after them. And in my time, my glory will be seen in their lives. I will heal them emotionally. I will give them new spheres of influence. I will give them friends in their lives that can reach places that you can't touch. And I'll restore parts of their reputation and lives that may have been destroyed. Even now, we declare a spirit of breakthrough be upon you. In Jesus' name. So in the spirit, we say freedom in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. May freedom be released. So any spirit now, the Holy Spirit oppressing them, we command you to flee in Jesus' name and release faith and joy and expectation in this moment. God, we say, give them their sleep back in Jesus' name. Give them their peace back today in Jesus' name. Though sorrow lasts for a night, joy comes in the morning. God, give them their joy back in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, guys. I had a praying mom one time who had a broken heart, and she pressed through, sometimes in faith and sometimes in brokenness, and Jesus came out for me on the other side. And I hear those stories every now and then. Somebody will come up to me, Matt, you probably don't remember me, but I remember you. And you prayed for me for my son one time, and he was away from the Lord, and he was doing drugs and so on and so forth. But Matt, you said he'd be fiery for Jesus. He'd be an evangelist. And Matt, God did it in his life. Matt, God did it. And I expect those same testimonies from today in your own way, in your own situations, that God never speaks for it to return void. He never gives you something to just give you disappointment. He speaks in order to produce something. And he called believers to fruitfulness, to John 15, 16, 17, to fruit that remains, fruit that lasts, fruit that can be seen, fruit that can be tasted, fruit that matters to people's lives. And I'll save some of the healing stuff for later. This is the thing about notes. If you ever take notes to read, you should make sure you can read them. Is there anyone here who's looking to start a business or has started? You're an entrepreneur. Anyone? You want to stand up? One of the things I felt so clearly this morning when I was driving here is I just felt like, Matt, I'm going to release an entrepreneurial spirit here in Douglas. And I think I kind of prayed for that last time I was here. But Matt, I'm going to raise up entrepreneurs. And today for this church, God's going to release new ideas to start things. And some of that might be ministry stuff, but some of that's just for your own economic engine, your own ways. You're going to understand business ideas. You're going to be able to start something. You're not going to feel like you're going to sell stuff. You're going to hire people. And you're going to be a blessing not only to Douglas in the spirit, but even in the natural. So you guys want to stretch out your hands. I know that we just release a grace of entrepreneurship to you in Jesus' name. We say that business will come natural to you. Ideas from the Lord. We just say, come and arise in Jesus' name. Dreams, even a vocation, we just say arise. And we just break off all failures that would say you can't be successful, you won't be successful. We tear those things down. And we say, God made you to be entrepreneurial. He created you for business. He created you to make a difference. He created you to give you another platform in time that'll lead to ministry to people. He called you to integrity. He called you to rub shoulders with people through what he's doing. So don't be ashamed. And we just release that from you. And right now we just say, favor be upon you. We release divine expectation and acceleration. And we just release that in Jesus' name. We say this will come naturally and it will come supernaturally. And we just say yes, Lord, to that. And God, we just say over her, you're going to have some dreams in the night. And we just release that. We just say God will give you the ability to create what he shows you. We just bless you, the creative nature of God inside of you. And we say he's going to begin to give you an opportunity to create things where you feel like you've had so many ideas, but you've never had opportunity or it hasn't worked out. God's going to finance it, and he's going to give people who can help create the things you see on the inside in Jesus' name. And so, Father, over Douglas, we say, let the entrepreneur arise in Jesus' name. Amen. And I think that's for all of us in some ways. What I was praying about in the prayer room, that I could never start a business. I could never do something crazy for God. That's them. That's whoever has the microphone. That's the person in the newspaper. That I could nevers. I could never be smart enough or wise enough or nobody would ever do that. But God sees you. He created you. Ephesians 2:10. It's one of my favorite verses. It says that, baby brain. We don't sleep as much sometimes. That God created us, and he destined us with a purpose before time began. That we have the mind of Christ, and that God created you and I for good works before the foundation of the earth. He created you for a work. He created you for specific things. He created you to accomplish things. In John 17, Jesus said that the work you gave me, Father, I finished it. I finished the work you gave me. And he wants our lives to say the same thing. I finished the work you gave me. And God is not, he's not a small God. He's a big God. He's a God of abundance. And so when he calls us to do a work, he doesn't call us to something we can do in our own strength as an end to itself. He calls us to something above and beyond. Doesn't mean it has to be big, but it's bigger than us and will always impact more than us. And so this morning, it's not where I'm going to end up, but I think this morning when you walk away, I think part of my heart would be for you who are here is that you would see yourself differently in light of God's grace. You would see yourself differently from a biblical identity and a practical identity from there. You wouldn't say I could never. You could say I can in the Lord. I will in the Lord. I will make a difference in the grace of God. I am important to the Father. I do matter. My life matters. And it'll matter to other people. When you walk away, that you would see others differently. When we have low self-confidence, low self-esteem, when we don't have a low sense of faith in what God's done for us and can do through us, we don't treat others the best to the best of potential either. If we have a low self view and biblical identity, how can you ever affirm people to the measure of the identity God's given them? When a king's in the room, or any figure, be it in the body of Christ in the world, like a president or whoever, they carry an air about them. When you walk, you just feel honored for being around them. You know, so it's in the church world, we'd call it anointing and presence. In the secular world, we'd just say that they carry themselves in such a manner, be it the Queen of England, be it the president. But God wants that for his people, not an arrogance, not an ego, just a confidence. I know who I am in God. I know who he is in me. And he can do whatever he wants. No one is the same today because of the presence of Jesus in my life. We can say that because of what he's done. God wants to give you a sense of identity that puts you at ease when you're around people, that puts you at ease when you're alone, that puts you at ease and comfortable with who you are in your own skin in Jesus, which is something I do appreciate about Calvin and Barbara. They're comfortable with who God made them to be, which means that when people are around them, they can be at peace and at rest. I appreciate that about you guys. You don't try to make everyone be like you or force it. You just draw the best out of them. So I actually have my notes. I don't have to flip through all those pages. And so Psalm chapter 1. And so Jesus, we commit our time into your hands. We commit our the message here and ask for the anointing of your Spirit, that you speak to each one of us in unique ways. God, let the words of my mouth be as apples of gold in settings of silver. Let the words of my mouth go forth in a way that builds the people of God. In Jesus' name, amen. And so I'm going to do something crazy. I'm going to mainly focus on one verse of Psalm chapter 1. And it says, blessed is the man, we'll say blessed is the woman as well, who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. And all that he does, he prospers. The wicked are not so, but are like chaff that the wind drives away. Therefore the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. And so up to verse 1. So God promises this prosperity to people who abide in his word and who know him. It's not necessarily the same thing as the world to define prosperity or success, but it is a real definition of blessing. But it starts with, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked. So what do you do when you're facing major life decisions? What do you do when you're thinking about transitioning your life? What do you do when major things happen? For us, our AC broke. Well, Leah was 9 months pregnant, and we're like, oh no. What do you do in moments like when surprises happen? Both our car batteries died this week within 12 hours of each other, the starter in one and the car battery in the other. We're like, oh no, we have to drive to Douglas. What do you do in moments like that? What do you do when Family members die. What do you do when unexpected situations? What do you do when you have to choose what school to go to for college? What do you do? Who do you go to is probably more my point. The word there, blessed is a man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked. The word counsel might also be translated consult, advise, or purpose together. Who do you purpose your life together with? Who do you intend to make your intentions of your life with? The Bible is so clear in Psalm 1, which is why I love it. I love the contrasting language, the very black and white nature. When we're looking at our lives, who do we want to be in the end? When I was 16 years old, I'm 27, I gave my life back to Jesus, and it was the one thing. I couldn't tell you what I wanted to do with my life, but I remember what Jesus did, and I just said, Jesus, I want to live with you, for you, all the days of my life. I can't imagine anything but praying. I can't imagine anything but sharing you with others. I can't imagine anything but being with you. I know what you did in my life. Therefore, it made me think, I don't care what the world says about me. I don't care what people who don't know you say about my life and what they think about my life. I just want to live for you. So when I thought about the future of my life, I had consulted my own wisdom. I consulted my own desires, be it a heart surgeon or, I don't know, a bunch of other things at different points in my life, a pilot. If you want to go earlier, when I was 5 years old, a cowboy that delivered pizza. That was not practical, but it turned into a pilot that delivered pizza, so that was less practical. But when it changed, I just said, God, what do you want for my life? I consulted with God. I purposed together with the heart of God to say, Lord, what would you have from me? Because a lot of my decisions before I gave my life to you were formed by ideas that may not be consistent with the heart of God. God, you love me more than anyone else. But from there, I had a wise mom who was praying for me as well after I gave my life back to Jesus still, saying, God, he can't just pray. He's got to do something with his life. And I began to get wise counsel around me. And I began to ask people much older than myself. So at 16, anything north of 30 was old. So I'm almost 30 now, so I'm basically old to my 16-year-old self. But I began to surround myself with people my parents and grandparents' age. And I began to ask them for wisdom. I began to seek counsel in general things. And I began to learn something. Is that I felt more stable in my life. There are a lot of other 16-year-olds who love Jesus too, who wanted to live for Jesus the rest of their lives, which is a good start. It's a great thing, having a malleable heart before God. But what they didn't have was other believers more mature than themselves that they were connected with, that they could listen to, who had lots of wisdom, who prayed for them. And now they're my age and with no blame, with no condemnation towards them. Some of them aren't where they could be in Jesus and with the Lord. And so my main point through saying all of this is we need the body of Christ. We need to counsel together when we think about our lives. We can't only have an independent Christianity, an individualized faith. I believe in a personal relationship with Jesus. Absolutely, most important thing. But I've also watched over the course of years to say when we go too far one direction, to say hell or high water, I'm going to follow Jesus. If there's wounds in our life, if there's disappointments, if there's bitterness, it gets into that language too when we disconnect from the body. And this morning I felt like the word is family. God wants us to counsel together for our lives. When you have need, that yes, you go to Jesus, and yes, you go to the body to say, I don't understand what's going on. Not to those who are wicked, and in this context, those who really don't like Jesus. I felt like there might be people here who have friends, who have family members who are in a place they shouldn't be with Jesus, that they're not where Jesus would like, and that's your source of your wisdom and your counsel and your thinking. I don't have anyone else to go to. You're thinking, well, they're my family. Why don't I want to listen to them? And I know there's balance to everything I'm saying. But I think the balance for this morning is you have a body in this room that God has called you to be friends with, called you to to build up one another, called you in the hard times to lean on one another. And yeah, that might give potential for disappointment, but it also may give potential for you loving Jesus years from now, even if you don't live in Douglas, and even if God leads you somewhere else, that you'd have lasting friendships, that the body of Christ, even the gifts of prophecy and the Spirit, were to build up the body. Or Ephesians 4, that we speak, the body builds itself up by speaking the truth in love. You can't build each other up if you don't have deep relationships. You can't be built up in a time of need if nobody around you knows you have need. And no one knows your story. Nobody knows your junk. No one knows you struggle with depression. Nobody knows that whatever. I believe God is calling the body locally here, maybe in Douglas, but here within the church, especially if you're new, to begin to connect. And it may be awkward, you may not know how, but it's worth it. And as a believer, you don't just have an individual call. We are the body of Christ. I'm not the body of Christ. I'm a part of the body of Christ. And it says that the body without the eye, it suffers, but the eye without the body suffers too. In fact, if you're a part of the body, an eye or prophetic or whatever, and you're so gifted and talented, if you don't have the body, you die. You know, a body can live without an eye. It would be kind of a poor life, but a body can live without an eye. But an eye will die if it's disconnected from the life of the larger body and the larger purpose of God. You may have strengths, you may have giftings, your family may be overall well, but over the long course of your life, we all need to strive for healthy, life-giving, accountable relationships. And it looks different in every one of our lives. Some of you are extroverts, some of you are introverts. Some of you came from big, small families. Some of you from small families. And all of this looks slightly different. It'll be more messy than it sounds. But I feel like there are people in this room who have gifts you need to become who you're called to become. And that's not a message I would normally bring. I would say God has gifts for you to accomplish your purpose. But this morning, I think the balance is you're going to go farther, faster, if you're with others. Not initially, but years from now. And I think the encouragement is yoke yourself. And the warning is, if you're not counseling with the principles of the Word of God and fellowshipping with the Spirit of God, who are you consulting? Your own wisdom? That may have its problems. Or is it people who may not have your best interest in mind? So I'm going to assume most people in this room are tracking with me. But the encouragement here is when we live in the counsel of God, we live a life of blessing. We live a life of abundance. We live in a life of stability. We don't become like the chaff that's driven away in the wind. It's here one day, but it's gone the next. We don't, as Christians, want only moments of impact here or there. All our highlights are in the past at some point. Be it in my life when I was 16, I gave my life to Jesus. He did so much. I don't want to stop and be satisfied. And as I grow and develop, I also want to add new definitions of success. God, what does it mean to be a godly father, a godly husband? Part of that I only learn as a young man from being around people who have godly families, godly marriages, or godly husbands. And you can answer a lot of the tough questions in my life. But they'll never answer those questions unless I approach them. Some people never ask answer because they just don't know. In a body, especially a life where we love to worship together, a church like this who has an incredible worship team, you guys are really gifted and talented and anointed. We assume, well, they lifted up their hands. They don't need anyone. No, they do, because we're the body of Christ. Even if they're doing well, they do better with you. You have something to contribute. What is it that you are contributing that God is proud of? What is it that you are contributing that needs to be seen? That's a great point. And if you aren't connected to the life body in this local church or beyond with other believers, what strength do they not have because you haven't stepped up? Because you can't, or your past isn't good enough, or you failed too many times, or somebody hurt you. I think God's empathetic and compassionate towards those points. But he wants you to get in the game. Then seek healing if you've been hurt. Then talk with people where you've been disappointed. Get the poison out of your system. through people knowing that where you're coming from. If you have so many skeletons in your closet, you don't want anyone to know, get it out in the light. Mold grows best in darkness. Bring it into the light. Get it dealt with. If you're struggling with saying, well, I don't have every area of my life, then invite people to help you. Not to condemn you, but to say, look, I'm not asking you to condemn me. I'm not asking you to judge me, but I really do need help. I think God gives grace to the humble, but to the proud he resists. And part of humility is looking at others and saying, I need help. Now, you might be in a good place in your life where you've had counsel around your life, you made good decisions, but you do have something to offer. Maybe it's helping with the children's ministry, but as I'm learning, sometimes it's not just about the work, but the workers. Who are people who are doing a lot of the good work that you can invest in, you can begin to pray for, you can just notice how can you invest in their families. There's a lot of ways you can informally add your gift mix to a local church and to the body of Christ. Are you guys tracking with me? And so I did not consult with Barbara and Calvin on the point this morning. I just felt it was the Lord. So I'm coming in from the outside in. I don't know everything happening in the life of the body. So don't feel like they told me to say something, because they didn't. They're pretty much against that. So, and so with my wife, we still had lots of foggy moments of not knowing what we're doing in our marriage. But we still go back to say, Jesus, in the very beginning, we know that we know when we stand before you, we want to say some of these core things. We want a godly marriage. We don't just want a good marriage, though that's good. We want a godly marriage that honors you. God, we want, when people looking at our marriage, truthfully, not just the appearance of it, but truthfully see our marriage, we want them to see the light of Jesus. One day I want my son, when Asher is older, I want him to say, when no one is around, without pressure, my dad was a godly man. I learned what it was like to love my wife by the way that my dad loved his. I mean, this is years ahead of time. I'm thinking about this, but saying it doesn't automatically happen. But Ali and I purpose together. We take counsel with one another. We ask each other, look, hold me to the high standard, not the low standard. We ask forgiveness when we miss it, saying, no, Ali, I'm sorry. But please don't lower your expectation of me. Pray for me. And so that's in a marriage. But if I didn't have vision, we didn't have vision for long term, it causes our short-term decisions to be kind of everywhere. Who are you purposing your life with, be it friends, be it mentors, whoever, to say, I really want to love Jesus long-term. What does it take? What am I missing? Not being afraid of criticism, not being afraid of what if I miss it, but setting a high standard because you really do want to make a big difference, whatever that difference may be in the kingdom of God. I mean, we all, when we stand before that white throne, want Jesus to say, well done, good and faithful servant. Well, that doesn't happen by accident. That's a million intentional decisions to say, I'm not going to hold on to my talents, my gifts, my wealth, my whatever God's given me. You might be poor, but it doesn't mean you don't have something to invest in the life of people. It probably means you're very resourceful if you grew up poor. My mom grew up on farms in the middle of nowhere in Arizona, like near Dateland, but more even obscure. I have a lot of family members who came from poverty-ish backgrounds. And you know what? It makes them resourceful. My mom always told me, Matt, we might be poor, but we're not going to act poor. And what she meant by that is we're not going to act. We're going to have self-dignity. We're going to have self-respect. And so my mom taught me, even in some of the areas that she didn't have, she grew up on evaporated milk because it could never afford milk. You know, my grandfather bought beer all the time and cigarettes, but didn't have money for food. It made her family resourceful and stronger. So what do you have? Not what don't you have. I think that sometimes we judge our life by what we don't have rather than what's in our hand, what God has given us. Are you married? God's given you a marriage. Do you have kids? God's given you children. Do you have a job? Then do your best. Whatever you do, do it unto the glory of God and not for men. Whatever you do, I'm going to be the most godly, whatever it is. If you're looking for work and you're out of work, well, then look for work in a godly way. Still invest. Don't disengage. Let your life matter even in little, small acts of kindness. When I was raising support years ago and fundraising, and I didn't have any money. I'm like, God, I don't have any money to sow. Like, literally. So I would go out to Walmart, and I would be like, God, who can I pray for? Who can I invest in? How can I use what you've still given me? How can I make a difference for your kingdom? Because your word says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things will be added. How can I build your kingdom today? Perhaps that's a question you want to take with you in your prayer times in the morning. Maybe that's a helpful phrase. God, how can I build your kingdom today? How can I hunger and thirst for righteousness today? And he may give you something simple. So many times I've asked God and I thought it would be something big, and it's like, Matt, love your wife. Be sweet to your wife. I don't always tell her those things. Jesus is advocating for you, Aaliyah. Or just like, Matt, have a good work ethic at work. Don't come in late. Don't clock out early. Let them know if you're a Christian, even at a Christian organization. Be about your Father's business. Which is a good thought. If you're at work and people know you're a Christian, even other Christians, then let your Christianity affect your work ethic and your attitude there. There's a great book by Wayne Grudem called Business for the Glory of God that talks about Christianity in the workplace. So it's a great reference tool. So what relationships do you have? I know I'm asking a lot of questions, but the purpose is for application. What relationships do you have in your life that either encourage you towards Christ, towards his ways, towards his word, or towards the ways of the world? I really don't believe there's any real neutral relationships over the long course of life. And if you do have relationships that you so appreciate, you love God more because of them. You love God more because of them, more deeply, more thoroughly. Thank those people. Let them know it makes a difference. Sometimes those same people who are making the difference all the time can feel like they're not. And when you give words of affirmation and appreciation, like, it encourages them to continue to invest in your life and other people's lives. But if you have people in your life that are overall leading you away from Jesus, I would ask you to question, say, God, what would you like me to do about those relationships? If they're more of an influence upon you than you are upon them, ask yourself, where does this lead 10 years from now? Where does this lead 5 years from now? I'm not talking about being a gospel witness. I'm not talking about having friends whom, through a course of time, you're allowing them to see your Christianity and Jesus inside of you. I'm saying, who have you let too close in that you shouldn't let in? And what effect will that have on you? So you may want to make a difference for Jesus, but if they're the ones who are rubbing off and you're doing things you know you shouldn't do, the attitudes they're entertaining in their life, the Bible says, do not be fooled. Bad company corrupts good character. Bad company corrupts good morals. Bad company that we're keeping, that we're purposing together to allow them to define our lives, that's a bad idea. When we're taking the counsel of the wicked, that also means that our delight isn't being in the ways and the presence of God. I know it's so black and white. I know it seems so harsh. But when we're consistently consulting with the world rather than with Jesus, we need to evaluate that. And I need to evaluate that. We all do. When we stand in the way of sinners, when we sit in the seat of scoffers, Matthew Henry, or there's a bunch of commentators, the scoffers would be those who scoff at the ways of God, not just those who are faith neutral, like who don't know what they believe, but those who are like, that Christianity is stupid. What are you doing? When you allow that stuff to affect your heart, like, those aren't the people to go about big decisions in your life. Those are people who may be aware of your decisions to make, but they're not having an influence on the decisions you make. Have godly people make an influence. And you know what? Sometimes godly people are wrong, but at least they come from the right place. Proverbs 17:17 says, a friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. A friend loves at all times, but a brother is born for adversity. And so friends were there to encourage one another, to uplift one another, say you're better than that, to dream together. but brothers, and I'm going to say brothers in Christ, sisters in Christ, as well as your natural family, because we are the family of God. We're born for adversity. So in days of adversity, when they come, they will come. Times of trial, when they come, because they will come. That's what the family of God is here for. We're here for the days of adversity. And if you don't aren't in adversity, you will be in adversity. Nobody wants to receive that prophetic word, but you will be. It's just the Bible promises testing and trials will come to build your faith. But when adversity comes, be it demonic, be it God-sent, be it just life, you want people there. This is what we're born for in part, was to be there for each other in dark moments. Don't get so machismo in that part of the culture that says, I'm not strong if I don't take it up on my own. No, strength is to go to your brothers in Christ and let them fill you up, let them build you up, not become dependent on them. Because when you allow people to do it for you, you learn how to do it for others. You'll always pay it forward. It's just how it goes. Ecclesiastes 4:12 says, though one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves. A cord of three strands is not easily broken. We're stronger together. You know, the enemy, kind of like a lion, goes in. When he's looking at a pack of zebras, he gets confused. When he sees one lagging behind, that's the one he goes for. So who's lagging behind that you need to help? Are you lagging behind? The enemy comes in like a roaring lion, seeing who may devour. And you're a believer. You might retain your position with Jesus eternally. But where will he come to steal and overwhelm a sense of God's purpose in your life? Where will he come to steal high vision of why you were created? Get a three-quart strand. Get people around your life and become a person in somebody else's life so they're strong. And when they're strong, they're going to accomplish the will of God long term. And so all of that to say this is I wanted to jump to 1 Corinthians 12 and 14. In 1 Corinthians 12, it says this, which talks about the body. Now, concerning spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be uninformed. And verse 4, it says, now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are varieties of service, but the same Lord. There are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who empowers them all and everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. For one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, another of knowledge according to the same Spirit, another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another ability to distinguish between spirits, to another various kinds of tongues, and to another interpretation of tongues. All these are empowered by one and the same Spirit who apportions to each one individually as he wills. For just as the body is one and many members, all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. And I don't want to read everything. 1 Corinthians 14 says, pursue love and eagerly desire spiritual gifts, especially that you may prophesy. And so it goes on to say that the one who prophesies, he builds one another up. He builds up the body. So why does God give spiritual gifts? And I've been around, not as much as some, but around to see, like, people get so wowed by the gifts of the Spirit when they really show up. I mean, I had a friend, Obed. He lives in Calexico, California, which is right next to Yuma, right on the other side of Mexicali. He gave a word in a church. He gave somebody's first name, never heard it, and a birthday, like out of the blue. And somebody stood up and like, that's my sister. The sister had terminal cancer. Anyways, he releases a word of healing and goes back and the woman's healed of cancer. She wasn't even in the room. I'm like, wow, that's crazy. A word of knowledge? You had somebody's birthday? Does this date mean anything to you? What does this name mean? Oh my gosh, that's crazy. And I hear stories of miracles happening, and I love it. I love when God shows up like that. I hope God shows up more like that. But what I'm realizing is, through the course of time, is some of those people looking for miracles and healings in Jesus' name get so disconnected because they start pursuing the gifts rather than Jesus. But sometimes, not just that, but they start pursuing the gifts rather than the purpose of the gifts. And I think one of the biggest purposes is to build one another up in love. That it's to flow from love unto love. And you know what? It doesn't make me more special because I prophesy. It doesn't make me more special because I work a miracle. Because it's the Spirit of God who does it. And he does it because he loves people. And so I think sometimes we gifts become hard because we try to perform for them, or gifts become too familiar. There's a number of things. But in the context of this family, I believe you guys will see the greatest outflow of the gifts, supernatural gifts of the Spirit, as you learn to be family. And it's not that it becomes about the gifts. It becomes about living life together and God strengthening one another as a unit. Paul is addressing not an institutional church, but in a sense of just a Sunday morning thing. These people lived lives together. They were involved in each other's business, in a sense. And God's Spirit blessed it. And now there's order and all of that stuff. Don't get me wrong. But I believe God wants the Spirit inside of you to be able to speak to the Spirit inside of you and to be able to make their life different, and that they would love Jesus more because you're in this church. And every believer in this church would love Jesus more because you're here. I want you to get a vision of God using you in big ways and small ways, in practical ways and in supernatural ways, because God loves family. God loves this family, this church. And God wants to build up this church. And I'm not necessarily saying numbers, but I'm saying depth. That 10 years from now, that you, each of you would have a vision that each of you loved Jesus more than today, and says, how do we do that together? And so prophecy fits into that, gifts of the Spirit fit into that, but they're not an end to themselves. It gets us to say, wow, isn't Jesus great every time? Wow, that was amazing. Isn't the Lord that we serve together awesome? It goes back to the Lord's Prayer, our Father who's in heaven. That's not just my Father, that's our Father that we're going to know forever, all of us together in eternity with Jesus. Our Father will continue to pray. So Jesus is the head of all things to the church. There's only one head that we all get the life from. But he humbles himself. He chooses to refrain some of his strength and grace for you, except through the body of Christ. Because he's the head of the church and he wants you to be connected to the church. And it doesn't mean you'll ever lose your salvation, but it may mean you're less effective. And you know what? Prophets and prophecy don't replace your personal relationship with Jesus. And you know what? A personal relationship with Jesus doesn't replace the role of prophets and prophecy and all that kind of stuff. And so we really felt led this morning. We want to give place for the Holy Spirit to release gifts you like to. But I really thought a lot of that foundation was just saying, don't get disconnected. If you only hear it as a summary, don't think because God uses you, you don't need other people. Don't think because you're only the practical side of ministry, meaning set up chairs, tear down, that you're not needed. All of the body is needed to see the full image of Jesus. It's so crazy. Yes, the fullness of God lives in us, but at the same time, we only see the fullness of God when all of us are showed up together. I don't know how that works. It's a mystery, but it's beautiful. Ephesians 2 says we're being built together as a dwelling place for God. The fullness of God's Spirit is in manifestation doesn't happen when we're by ourselves, although that helps. It happens when we're all by ourselves in Jesus' name and then come together as the vine. And when God crushes our fruit, there's more juice to it, if that makes sense. There's more impact together than separately. So, may have been slightly scattered, but as I'm going into the times of the gift Spirit, I really think God's going to show up right now. I think he's going to do something special. But it's from love, it's for love, and it's all about Jesus. Amen? So if anyone gets a word of knowledge or a word of prophecy, go for it. I want to try to set a stage through just stirring faith. Someone want to get on piano or something? Or guitar? Or whatever works. And I wrote down words of knowledge and stuff like that, but it's all scattered. So Jesus, I just welcome your Spirit here today. And before I move forward, if there's anyone here, I have my eyes closed. I'm not looking. Jesus is, but I'm not looking. If you just feel very convicted, not condemned, but convicted to say, you know what? I haven't done family in my personal family right, and I haven't done family in this church right. I've said some things I regret, or I didn't say something I should have said that would have really encouraged someone. in your own way, do you just want to ask God forgiveness? You don't have to stand up. You don't have to speak out loud. God, I missed an opportunity. Forgive me. Or God, I hurt someone. I know that hurt you. Would you forgive me? Or God, I've really neglected the body life of the church. I focused on my relationship with you, but not focused on my relationship with you and one another. Just in your own way, God, just talk to me. Is there anything you want to reveal to me, each one of us individually? Is there anyone that after this moment, after today, maybe you're called to ask forgiveness from or say, you know what, I'm sorry. It doesn't have to be spiritual sounding. I messed up. You can just say that. I was wrong. It might bring healing to someone. And is there someone really that you're thankful for that you need to tell thank you today? I'd encourage you to do it. I'd encourage you to write it down so you don't forget. I'd encourage you to tell someone in this room, hey, I need to talk to so-and-so so they can hold you accountable. But I just release healing and strength to this body life. And I just say that the family of God here, it will be stronger and healthier than it's ever been a year from now, 6 months from now, tomorrow. And I just declare, God, you're giving a grace for renewed relationships, strengthened relationships, healthier relationships, and deeper relationships today. And I just bless that the life of God, the presence of the Holy Spirit, the river of God is going to be connected better within this church, Lord, that you're going to dig ditches and you're going to make one stronger stream versus many small streams. I release vision today of what a heightened sense of community looks like and what it means to purpose our lives together, to seek Jesus together in the big picture. Lord, we want to love your counsel rather than the counsel of those who don't know you. And we want to abide in your word day and night. If you are away from Jesus, if you'll just tell him, God, I'm away. I hear you calling me right now. I want to be right with you. I want to live for you. Just tell him right now in faith, God, give me the strength to live for you for the rest of my life. God, give me the strength to not waste my life. I want to live in a way that matters to you. I want to live to the height of the calling you have on my life. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Is there anyone who has hearing loss in their right ear? Anyone with hearing loss? Doesn't have to be major. Doesn't have to be diagnosed. You just notice you have a little bit of hearing loss. Anyone? Okay. You want to stand up? And so when I was praying earlier, I got the word nose. As silly as it sounds, nose, a nasal passage blocked. Does anyone have something with like their nose or nasal passage? That's interesting. Okay. I've never given a word for a nose or a nasal passage, by the way, so. And this is probably the biggest step for me. I don't like giving names or dates and stuff. I stay away from it personally. But I kept getting the name Alfred. Does the word name Alfred mean anything to anyone for any reason? The name Alfred. It could be a brother, sister, friend. It could be you. Okay. So the word I got with that might be, is somebody in here prone to kidney stones? Prone to kidney stones. Okay, thank Jesus, because those things are painful from what I've heard. Is there anyone here who's never seen a miracle or personally prayed for someone that was healed? Anyone? Anyone else? Anyone? Anyone? Okay, you want to stand up? Do you want to stand up? Anyone else? Okay. Do you want to come over here with Pastor Calvin? And Barbara, you want to stand with her? And you want to go over here and pray with them? I'll lead you, so don't, you're not on your own. Is it okay if they put their hand on your shoulder? You're comfortable with that? Can you just put their hands on your shoulder? Okay. And if anyone else, you want to go over and pray for her? Okay. And so this is what I want you to pray. And I want you to know, there's no burden on you who are going to pray to make it happen. It's on Jesus, all right? If we pray and we don't see anything happen, it's okay. They were no worse off than before. It's okay. But what happens? What happens if God does show up? How will that matter to them? That'd be so cool. And so we're just going to pray in simple faith, believing that God wants to heal and believing that God wants to give them a token of his presence. No pressure on me, no pressure on you. We're not performing. We're just welcoming Jesus. So if you're being prayed for, just stand there, just receive. Don't pray. Just sit there, stand there. And if you're out there in the audience, just stretch out your hands toward them. You can pray with me. Those of you who are going to pray that I asked you to stand up, repeat after me. Jesus, thank you that you love the person in front of me with an everlasting love. You gave your life for them so they could know you personally and deeply. And in that same faith, you gave me to even believe in you for salvation. I release that same faith now and speak healing over their bodies. Nasal passages be healed in Jesus' name. Hearing loss be restored in Jesus' name. And anything else, I command your body be made well in Jesus' name. Thank you, God. Any spirit not of the Holy Spirit, leave in Jesus' name. Amen. So, with hearing loss, I don't know how you check it, but I want you to check it out. Those of you with nasal problems, I don't know how you do it. Just breathe deep or something. And just try for a minute or two. And as they're checking, I want to continue to pray. One is, if you get a word of knowledge or prophetic word, just come up. Let me know. How are you doing, Calvin? Do any of you guys notice something different? Just wave at me if you feel notice something different in your body. And it's okay if you don't. Okay? We'll pray again. We're just going to pray again. So Jesus, thank you for Calvin and these others here. And we thank you that you are God the healer. And we pray a release of healing in their bodies in Jesus' name. Nasal passages, hearing loss, other stuff, be made well in Jesus' name. Command fullness of breath and hearing be restored. We thank you, God, in Jesus' name. Amen. So I just want you guys to continue to check out. I mean, we're not praying to pray. We're praying to see a response. And I think it's important to faith. So yes, stay up there. Continue to stay up there real quick. Somebody with a heart problem. I don't know if it's the rhythm in your heart, but I just see a heart problem. I see like it like thickened or something. Does that make sense to someone? You have a heart problem. Something in there is more thick than normal. If that's you, just wave a hand at me. We'll pray for you too. Oh gosh. Getting the whole car fixed up today, Calvin. We'll believe you'll do it. So if anyone notices something in your body, just kind of wave at me. But if you need, what's that? Were you just doing your hair or did you have something? Oh, okay. If you need healing in your body for any reason and you would like to be prayed for, wave your hand real quick. Okay. Just keep your hand raised. And what I want to do is I want to employ you guys who are not raising your hand. Go find somebody who is raising their hand. So if you guys will move out of your seats and go find somebody to pray with. I'll give you the words. We'll continue to press in faith in Jesus' name that something will happen right now. And I know it's out of our comfort zone. And as I said, there's no pressure. But we're praying for a reason. And it's because Jesus is alive today and he heals. And so with your hand on them, I'm just going to lead you in a prayer. And we continue to pray. Jesus, I thank you for your goodness, for your mercy. You are a healer. And you came to set us free. I pray for the person in front of me. Set their body free from affliction, from sickness. We command bones to be made well, their body be made well. Let life fill their bodies in Jesus' name. Any spirit of affliction or infirmity, leave in Jesus' name. And we bless them, Lord, with wholeness, with health, and with peace. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. We give you glory, Jesus, right now. Thank you for healing. Thank you for miracles right now. In Jesus' name, Lord. So if you just sit there, stand there for a sec, God, release healing and life. May your presence begin to minister supernatural miracles of healing and restoration. We say, in Jesus' name, devil, wherever you've held anyone in bondage, your day is ended. Leave in Jesus' name. Bodies that have been injured by natural causes, be healed in Jesus' name. We declare freedom in this place in Jesus' name. So if you just want to begin to move around, if it's testable, would you just test that? If it's a foot problem, if it's a neck problem, if it's your nasal passages, just breathe. And if you notice something change, just wave your hand at me. Let me see. We'll continue to pray. But if anything has happened, just let me know. Just wave at me. Is there anything you'd like to share, Calvin?
About a year ago, I had Bell's palsy and the right side of my face froze up, and you know, I lost my smile on this half. Well, it lasted about 7 months. But anyway, the part of the effect of that was the nasal passage on this side stopped up. And so while we've been praying this morning, it's I don't feel the pressure that's always been there. I can't say it's 100% yet, but I've always had this pressure right there, just like a puff of pressure. And that pressure has relieved. It feels more normal.
Yeah. Real quick, we can pray one more time. Guys, stretch out your hands toward him. You can put your hand on him. So in Jesus' name, Lord, we bless this nasal passage. We thank you for what you're doing, God. We thank you for the pressure being alleviated. And we just ask for the whole thing, God. Increase your presence, increase your healing. We ask for more, Lord. And in Jesus' name, we just command nasal passage move into place, nerves be healed, and all of that. We just declare full breath in Jesus' name. Amen. Do you want to test that out? So awesome. Lord, more. If you've noticed even a partial thing, I've noticed when we've prayed for healing, sometimes there's just a little trickle that starts. And that trickle begins to build. And so is there anyone else who notices it's not fully there, but it's partly there? Come up.
I left church last Sunday after teaching with the kids. And by Sunday night, I was running a high fever with sinuses all clogged and severe pain in my ear. And it just popped.
Yeah.
Just popped.
How does that make you feel?
Oh, thank you, Lord.
Amen. That's so neat. And so if you're believing for healing right now, I know that we're praying multiple times, but I believe in this. I believe Jesus does this, and we can see a sign of rain. We can see a little trickle, and that's all right. So place your hand on your heart, or place your hand on the part of the body that you want healing in. And I just say, in Jesus' name, let there be healing in this room. You don't have to pray with me. Just receive. In Jesus' name, I command all sickness and infirmity to leave bodies. God, I command life and strength to enter in this room and into lives. And in Jesus' name, I declare hearts, physical hearts, be healed and strengthened. I declare vision loss, be healed and be restored, even now, God. God, I thank you that somebody's back that had an accident. It was tweaked. They can walk. It's basically okay. You're healed right now in Jesus' name. God, I say the slight blurriness there in somebody's eye, be healed in Jesus' name. And so, Father, right now, I release faith for the supernatural to enter this room. I release faith, God, for prophetic, for miracles, for words of knowledge. We command open and flow in Jesus' name. We say this morning, we're jumping in the river, God. This morning, the river is going to run. So we say to any part of anyone's body that is out of joint, be healed. Arthritis in a hand or a wrist, I think, be healed in Jesus' name. We just say right now, it's loosing. Carpal tunnel, just open. Let those pathways of carpal tunnel just open in Jesus' name. We thank you for miracles right now. We thank you for healings in Jesus' name. Amen. You guys want to just test out something for those who are praying for healing. I know it's super simple. We're not nothing complex, but just move something. You couldn't move before. Check if there's pain. Check if some of the stiffness has let up. Check if your back doesn't have tension anymore, whatever it may be. And if you feel like something's happened, I just want you to wave a hand at me. Or continue until we see a breakthrough real quick. And you don't have to make anything up. I'm not asking you to. So we just bless that in Jesus' name. What were you guys standing up for? Were you guys waving your hands earlier? What was that for? Okay. Were you guys waving your hand for healing as well? Who had their hands up over here? We'll continue to pray for that, but... Okay. Where's your hand pointed, Aaliyah? Behind them? Oh, to the couple right over here. Were you guys believing for healing as well? Okay, what was that for? Can I ask? You're back? Okay. What's that? Your back? Okay. Do you want to share what happened to your back? Okay. Oh, did Jesus heal it? Oh, wow. I was just going to pray for you for you. Oh. Are you comfortable sharing?
Just sure. Well, good morning, everyone. This is my second, our second time visiting this church. And I don't want to magnify the feeling of in my back because I know I am a teacher of you. I'm a math teacher at Huber Middle School, so yeah. Hi. And so last February, I was really suffering so much with this back pain, and I was even for a whole month of October, I mean, of February, I was even keep on making absences because of my back pain. But I have got this one before for a long time already, and I've got the car accident when I arrived here in America, in Douglas. And so it worsened. And so last night, because it keeps on I suffered. And last night I was praying. I slept to 1 o'clock. I prayed to God for healing because I'm suffering actually. And I kept this one secret. And I'm happy. I'm so blessed today because I never knew that you have this kind of activity in the church, and I'm so blessed because I was prayed for by everyone. I believe that God healed me, and by my husband laid down his hand and somebody at my back, I don't know, she because I'm against too. I can't stand for cold, so while we were praying, I feel the heat, like a hotness, like a hot compress in my back. And I just raise my hand and thank you, Lord, for healing me. And I feel so comfortable while I'm sitting down. And the hot compresses continue in my back, like lower back pain. So I'm praying that God heal me completely for my family and for my service to his people. Thank you.
I think God wants to do more. Is there any more physical healing that either of you need besides your back as well? Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
There's no
okay. So we're going to pray with you right now. And you guys want to stretch out your hands real quick? Thank you. And so, Father, we thank you for this couple, only their second time here. But you knew them. You love them. You care for them right now. You never have to show up, but you chose to. And we bless what you're doing, God, and we ask for more for healing for her back. Lord, I just hear you saying, I'm healing memories too. I don't know what that means, but I'm healing memories that have haunted you guys as a couple for just years. I don't know what that is, but God's doing it right now. And Father, I thank you for your presence on them and in them. And I say your back is healed right now in Jesus' name. Just the pain is gone and it's renewed. It's like you have a new back. And we just say, Father, more of your presence. May they walk in the full calling of God's your service on their lives. May they continue to grow in maturity in the faith. God, I thank you that you love them. May they feel your love in a deeper way right now. Years of weariness lift from their shoulders. Years of stress. We just say, God, this is a year of jubilee. This is a year where they're going to begin to see restoration in their family, in their health, in their marriage, and in their walk with you. The Lord says you're not second-class citizens. You're not second-class citizens. You're first in my book. We bless that in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for letting us pray with you. Is there anyone else who feels like God's done something in the last 10, 15 minutes that they would like to share? You don't have to share. But it doesn't encourage your heart to see that God would do something in you, in someone else. I mean, it blesses my heart. What is your name? Yeah. What's that?
Carla.
Carla? Okay. You want to stand up real quick? Do you want to put your hand on her shoulder? Is that okay? And so I just feel like, and I could be wrong. So if it doesn't sound right, let it roll off your shoulders. We all go in faith for Jesus. But I feel like one of the prayers you're saying, God, is I want to be very useful, but I'm not exactly sure what you're calling me to. I know you want me to live for you, but what is it, God? And I just feel like, I think what he's saying to you is just be patient, be close to me, get to know me. And in the course of time, I'll use you to share what you see in me. And I think his call for you right now is that of just getting to know him as Father. And I just think that some things you may or may not have gotten from your earthly father, but God wants to show you about himself, that he is true, he's faithful. I see him with strong shoulders over your life, broad, strong shoulders. And he says, I want to protect you. I want to keep you safe. And that I am a safe place. And if you, I hear him saying, if you want to cry with me, you can cry. If you want to share your heart, I will never despise it. I even hear him saying, you don't talk too much. I hear him saying that you don't talk too much. I just see you on his heart, on his chest, saying, I just want to be with you. And I think God today is breaking a lie that says that you're not qualified to be with him and that it's not a worthy calling. And I don't know what he has for you vocationally, but I see healing on your life through not just physical healing, but I see healing in the lives of girls and hearts and lives. I don't know what that is, whether it's therapy, whether it's counseling vocationally, or if that's just something he's going to do through you. Is something with healing the inside, not just the outside. And I see emotions, and I see minds even becoming at peace. And you're a peacemaker, I feel God saying, and I'll restore lives through you. I feel like it's very peculiar in the way that he's saying it. But he's just saying, first, get to know me better. Get to know my character. Get to know my heart even more. I'm pleased to show it. I'm accessible. Does that make sense for you? Okay, we just bless you in Jesus' name. We say may God's presence rest on you today. May you have peaceful sleep. May you have a blessed reassurance that I'm with you, that I'm for you. The Lord would say, I'm not against you. I will be a father to you in all stages of your life for the rest of your life. I can hear God saying it. I will be with you to your even your gray-haired years and even the years of loss and plenty. I will be there in both. I'll be your contentment when nothing seems to happen and when everything seems to be there. I will be proud of you the same. I have a picture of you. I feel the Lord saying like a frame, like a dad would have in his house of his daughter. He's like, I have one and I smile when I see it. I just really feel his reassurance for you. And Barbara, do you want to continue to pray with her? I feel like he has something real special for you. So do you guys stand up too? You know, and this is okay to do, right? Okay. I have no idea what time it is, guys, so. But I just feel like God's called you to just simply be a father and a mother in the faith. And I just feel like God's deep heart just to say, you know what? I want to put some lives around you that you can just impart wisdom to. And I see God giving you, in a sense, blueprints for people's lives. But not that you're unfolding them to people, but that you can see where they need to go and you can ask the right questions that help them answer it for themselves. And I see you with people who are broken and some may be drug addicted, and God giving you supernatural compassion and wisdom for their lives. And I'm not saying that it's only that audience. I just see you just as moms and dads with a heart for restoration, being able to see the golden people. And I also see that maybe that there are some testimonies that may feel opposite of that, and the accuser of the brethren saying, you can't do that because of this situation. But I just release freedom over you. God's called you to father and mother. Just enter in. He'll send the right people. You don't have to search for them. Just be open when they come. And just pray for them. When you don't know what to do, just pray for them. Just feel affirmation. And I just say over you, in Jesus' name, be free to mentor, be free to disciple, be free to heal others, and be free to hold groups, be it in your house and in Jesus' name, I just bless you with the stability, whatever that means, to be able to invite others to your house and your place and live life with them. And I say, may you be oaks of righteousness in the plant in the house of the Lord. And may others rest under the shade of, and the coolness and the calmness of the environment God provides for you in Jesus' name. Does that make sense? Okay. So you in the orange, what is your name again? Oren, would you stand up? Maria. Yeah. So I just feel like God's called you to be a hero. Like I just see that word hero written over you. Maybe that's something specific for you, but a hero in your family, and that you'd be a model that others look up to. And so maybe sometimes they feel like you'll have done too much and they'll have to stretch to what God accomplishes through you. But I just feel you have a high capacity to achieve and to dream and have some ambition that maybe you've sometimes felt like too much on your life. But I just feel God's called you to be a hero for others to stretch forth in faith towards, and to give them a model of what it means to live a full life in Jesus and in other areas of life, what his life looks like vocationally and familially. I don't know. I just feel like you're called to stretch your family, and you don't have to lower your standards for some people. Have a high standard for your life, and that's okay. I hope that makes sense. But I just want to just say in Jesus' name, I bless you to achieve great things for the Lord and in your family. I bless you not to feel guilt or shame or feel as if you should do less. I bless you with wisdom in how to balance your life in different areas of your life. But I declare in Jesus' name, you are a hero in the faith and many will know you. Heaven's book will record the feats of faith in your life. Though some of them seem very natural, it's supernaturally empowered. I don't want to overstretch, but I almost feel like it's like a political calling. I don't want to say it is, but something where people would know you and you can influence change. I don't know if it's in a business structure, a political structure. I don't know what that is, but I just say, God bless whatever that is. You're called to make a dent. Don't feel bad for it. Be careful who you attach to, but may the Lord send people in your life who even draw out the best in you. You're going to be able to communicate and articulate with ease. And I can see that you'll have a favor to for business people to listen to you, and for people who've accomplished much to be able to listen to practical wisdom God gives you, which is the reason you might be in some of those rooms, but also that you'll be able to be bold for faith, and God will help you reconcile the faith end of life, the Christian end of life, and the accomplishment end of life. Does it all make sense to you? So we release that favor over you in Jesus' name. And so if you'll stand up in the, yeah, I'm looking at you, yeah. What's your name? Keith? Keen. Okay. So, sorry. Somebody want to put their hand on your shoulder, is that okay? And then, you know, God has a word for everyone, and we all have different personalities. We all kind of hear God differently and sense Him and stuff. But I'm just going to pray for you, and I feel like I have a word for you, okay? So, Father, I thank You for him. Thank You for Your great love for him. I thank You for Your presence on his life. Thank You that You see him so particularly. And I welcome You to speak to him in ways that would relate to him specifically. Bless him in Jesus' name. Amen. And so I feel like for you, and as I said to others, if it doesn't seem like it hits you, just let it roll off your back. But I just feel like you've been a leader all your life, man, and people have followed you, and maybe in some of your even younger years, maybe that was good, maybe that was bad, I don't know. But I just feel like you've been anointed for leadership and anointed to make a difference, anointed to influence, just on a social level, people around you, listening and seeking your advice and your counsel. And I feel like God just wants to give you a level of wisdom and a sphere of influence. I feel like you're made just to make a difference. You're made to be a great friend is what you're made to be. You're made to be a great relational influencer. When people are just... not, I don't know that you're called to be a counselor in a vocational sense, but on a social relational sense, I just think people will be comfortable sharing their stuff. What should I do? How should I approach life? Oh man, my girlfriend just broke up with me. Something so simple. And I think God wants to give you for wisdom that just practically matters in people's lives. So maybe not all the deep stuff, but maybe sometimes, maybe somebody's having a hard time. And things we're talking about today, I feel like you're really, God wants to so bless you with wisdom and so bless you with love for people. That when they listen, they walk away feeling so valued, so cared for, and feeling like that's exactly what I needed to hear. And not always that you have the solutions, but they feel like they can be heard when they're around you. And I know that saying, maybe that's so simple, but I just see that on your life, and I see in the years future what that's going to do is people, because they felt heard and valued, there'll be areas to be share your faith and help them to see their own story of faith unfold, their own story with Jesus. No matter how weak and broken it may be, they're going to feel so comfortable around you. So in years come, I think that it'll require boldness. But for now, he's just giving you some favor. Does that make sense? Is that okay? So we just bless your life. Thank you, God. You gave him a gift to influence others socially, relationally. The others see him as a leader. Others see him as a role model at times. For better or worse in different seasons. But the Lord says, I'm going to teach you how to use a sphere of influence and just the way you have with people, just the charisma. And I'm going to show you the purpose before time began, why I gave you that. And you're going to make such a dent in the kingdom of God and relationships. You know, just in everyday language, in everyday casual conversation, God says, I'm going to build my kingdom in ways people don't even know what's happening to them. It's as if you snuck up on them. And people are going to feel so valued, so cared for, so built up, so heard, so validated. And not to call you a sage, but, you know, I just bless you with godly, God-ordained wisdom and a sense of his presence about you. And may they know that where that peace comes from and where that wisdom comes from is of divine, supernatural Jesus origin. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. And if the couple next to you, what are you guys' is? You want to stand up? So I feel like I'm going to say some stuff to you, but it may hit a few people in the room, and that's okay. So if you feel like, wow, he's speaking to me, well, I think the Spirit of God is speaking to you. So I just feel like we talked about entrepreneurialism earlier, but I just sense a business anointing on your life and a call to create wealth. And I think God's going to give you some ideas very distinctly that create not only a financial base for yourself, but others. And I feel like I see a social justice mantle on your life, meaning when God gives you wealth, he's going to give you the ability to to help children in need. He's going to give you the ability to clothe them. I don't know, backpacks. I don't know what it is. I see practical need items being met by God giving you. And I feel like he's given you already a heart of compassion that has made a difference. And I don't know if this is true, but the kind of heart that welcomes people into your home when they're in need. And you can't turn people away. I feel that's the kind of people you are. But I just feel like God's like, that's the kind of heart I want to empower. And I feel like financially you might be doing all right, but I just feel like there's a call to create wealth that is beyond your current means, and you're going to do something great with it, and it's going to impact community, and it's going to be bigger than only inviting people into your house or buying a few backpacks and stuff here or there. But I do see a call to help children, school-age kids, to have what they need. And I don't want to over-define that, but does that make sense to you guys? With that, okay. Well, so I just bless you today. Deuteronomy, I believe it's 8:18, says that God gives us power to make wealth, that he may confirm his covenant. And I declare today that the power of God on your life to create sustainable wealth, not coming and going, not a check here or there, but something sustainably month by month that builds into your life. God says, I have a future for you. You gave up something, I think, long ago that was going to create wealth for you. And God says, I have my purposes, and it's going to be something that lasts and doesn't go away. Maybe it was your family history, but I just say sustainable wealth. You won't have to fear it going away. I just bless you with vision from God. I bless you with faith from him. I bless you with his presence. And I just say you're going to make a huge difference in people's lives. And he's going to build your family, and he's ready to build your lives. Now that you've built other people's lives behind the scene, the Lord's going to be in to build your life, and it's going to be a joy to everyone who saw all those little things that you did. And the Lord says, vengeance is mine. Let me take care of some of the other issues around you. Let me defend you. You don't have to defend yourselves, and move forward in pressing into me, doing it in a godly, integrate way, and I'll take care of the side issues. Don't know what that means, but I bless you in Jesus' name. And we could go on for a while. What I would like to do is one more couple, and then I want to just ask you to pray. How many of you are dads in this room? You have kids? Okay. There's something I want to do with you right afterwards. But if you guys will stand up with the five-month-old. What's his name? What's that? One. Okay. I'm not going to get this. But you know him. It's the half white part of me, guys. I'm half Mexican, but the half white part can't always get it out. So, I just want to bless you guys. You're going to be a great dad. Other dad's going to look to you one day and just say, I want to be a dad like that. I want to be a man like that. Not just a dad, but a man like that. He's going to make you your life in such a way as you give in to him, as you seek wise counsel, as he heals you. One day, even just some short years from now, there's going to be some younger dudes who are going to be like, man, what happened in your life? But they're also going to say, I want what you have. And I just see just gentleness on it. But I also see that you'll be a man's kind of man, and you're going to bring healing and strength to families around you guys. And I just see God proud of you right now, both of you guys right now. He's proud of you. And he wants to affirm you, and he wants to speak into your life. So when you guys are praying, I just feel, God, what are you saying to us as a family? What are you saying about our future? God, some things look impossible in our life, but we know that you love us and you love our son more. Would you just show me? I feel like that kind of conversation he wants to have with you. And you're going to hear his voice on it. You really are. God will be a major part of your life as a family unit for the rest of your life. And your kids, he's going to make a way to know Jesus, and it's going to be generational, and your son's going to want to be the kind of dad he saw in you, okay? I just feel like God wanted to affirm you and give you vision right now. But we just bless you in Jesus' name. You guys want to walk over there? You want to go pray for him? I'm going to pray for you, and they're going to continue to pray for you, okay? This is musical chairs right now, guys. So, Father, we bless them to have your supernatural, divinely given vision for their lives. And we declare over them, the enemy is sought to sift you like wheat, but the Lord has, there's even family members and church members who have prayed for you. And God says, I'm giving you faith in this season. I'm giving you hope in this season that will last a lifetime. open your ears to my voice, open your heart to my word, because in this season of life, I'm going to begin to speak, if you listen, about things to come for years and years. And you can have an average life if you want it. You can just get by if you want it. But if you want to go all out for me, if you want to make a difference, if you want the highest and best, there's some things I'll only show you as you listen to me. And I feel this season right now is a season to press in, to make opportunity for the voice of God if you don't know how to learn it. And God will be gracious to help you in that. But I say this season is a defining season for you. Open your ears to my voice, the Lord says, and I will speak. Open your heart to new ways of me moving in your life, and I'll show it to you. This Jesus thing isn't just for others. It's for you. It's for you. And I say that there's healing entering your family, your nuclear family. There's healing in your lives for extended family. And they're going to watch what I do in your life. They won't mock it. They won't despise it. They'll be intrigued by the working of God in your marriage, in your life, and your fathering and mothering. And we bless you today to go the distance. We bless you with opportunity, with resources, with connections, and revelation from Jesus to go strong all the days of your life in Jesus' name. So what I want to do, if you're a dad in this room, you guys who I had you pray, search God. I think you guys have a word for them at some point. Catch them before they leave service. But if you're a dad, I want you to ask God for a word for your son. I know I asked God, what would please your heart? And I just felt like have dads pray for their kids. And they may not be in this room, but that's okay. I want to give you some verbiage just to pray for them. And then ask God, is there anything you want to speak to me about my kid? And I believe God's raising up a new generation of fathers who empower their sons and heal their sons in such a way as the world doesn't know what to do. God wants to give such redemptive grace to families that a culture that only knows brokenness will see the body of Christ and see what God has done to heal, to convict, but also to redeem and to build. And so, if you're a dad, how do I want to do this? How many of you have your kids in this room with you? Is there? I know you do. I do too. I just want to give you a prayer. You can pray this on the inside or on the outside. Some of your kids are grown kids. That still holds true. I'm going to have you pray with me. And if you're a wife, put your hand on their shoulder. And I want you to pray for them as I'm praying with them for their children. Make sense? This is all sloppy, but it's okay. So dads, repeat after me. Father God, thank you for the call to be a dad. Thank you for this gift to me. Thank you that you speak to me for my family, for my children. And I receive grace from you to fulfill your assignment in this season. Every mistake I've made, cover it in the blood. I receive your heart, your wisdom, and your revelation, and how to make a difference in this season. Father, I bless my children to prosper, to fulfill your whole heart for their lives. I bless my children to encounter God in new and fresh ways. I bless my children to know you, Jesus. I bless them to find the way you want to provide for them. I bless them with favor in this world from you. I bless God, our relationship, God, and ask her to be rich, full of good communication. And I receive your heart, your voice for me, and my role as a dad. I receive your peace and your wholeness. And so just your own words, just pray for your children in any way God leads you to, just for a minute. Wives, you can pray for your husbands to be in that specific role as a dad, provider, head of the house, Jesus follower. Just thank you, God. So proud of the dads in this room. You love them so much. The world may shame fathers. Sometimes the church does. But we bless the fathers in this room with the heart of God. We bless them where they struggle to provide, but they still keep going. I bless your endurance. I bless your patience. I bless your creativity and resourcefulness. And may the Lord open doors for you to become all you are called to be in this area. In Jesus' name, amen. So one last thing I want to do. You have something too. Okay. I just want to reach out your hands as we read in 1 Corinthians 12. The Holy Spirit gives gifts. And I believe he wants to give you gifts today. And what I mean by that is not just that he ministers to you, but he wants to minister through you. He wants to speak through you. Healing and miracles isn't just something somebody else does. It's what God does through you. Prophecy or words of knowledge, that's stuff he has for you. And he has through you because he wants to love people. Gifts of the Spirit are tokens of his love. They're not the fullness of his love. They're just moments that allow people to see it a little clearer. So I bless you in Jesus' name. And Lord, we welcome the Holy Spirit to activate gifts of the Spirit in this room, within the life of this body, and in the life of the larger church. We say, Holy Spirit, we want every gift that heaven has. Today, let prophecy, words of knowledge, healings, and miracle gifts be activated and refreshed in Jesus' name. Lord, for those wondering, how do I be both professional and spiritual? God, I thank you are given ideas of how to walk in gifts of the Spirit and learn into holistic areas of life. I bless this church to walk in the fullness of all the heart of Jesus, to pray, to prophesy, to do community, to build one another up, and the one another's who are coming into the life of this church. God, I see fresh converts, fresh disciples of Jesus coming here, that you're building family now because you're adding new family members in the months and years to come. God, I hear even this year, even by year's end, I will begin to give new people that they're not transferring to another church. They just came to know Jesus. Somebody in this room led them to Jesus, but they're coming here to a larger family. Prepare the heart of this church, the relationships in this church to welcome people into a family environment. I bless that and declare it will happen in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Matt. Let's all stand. Please stay in prayers concerning our giving. Amen. And think about who you might want to invite to come back tonight at 6:30. Because, you know, if you need a good Bible teaching, you go to a Bible teacher. If you need evangelizing, you go to an evangelist. Well, if you need a word from the Lord, a prophetic word from the Lord, we've got someone with that prophetic gift with us this weekend. And I can't tell God what to do or tell Matt what to do, but the spirit of prophecy is with us. And we want to honor that and give place to it. So think about who the Lord might have you invite tonight. God bless you. Have a wonderful afternoon. See you at 6:30, Lord willing.